There is that school bell. Don't be tardy. Go get your Bible. Go grab your seat. Turn up your radio and be a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're looking at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of February the 5th, 1928, about Jesus being misunderstood and opposed. And as we stopped the class last time, we were looking at the helps and hints for the teacher at the beginning of this lesson, and we're going to commence there in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, this is the time where Jesus came into the house, and there were so many people about him that they just pressed on him, and some thought he was beside himself, and others were saying that he was casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. Well, let's see about when these things happened. Jesus had done much of his work in Galilee. His first visit to Galilee after his baptism was shortly after that, where he made a short visit to Capernaum and did that, perform the miracle of turning the water into wine at the marriage feast. Remember that. That's in John chapter 2. Now, if we have the chronology right, that was the first of the year of 27 A.D. In the spring of that year, he attended the Passover at Jerusalem, cleansed the temple the first time, preached to Nicodemus, and spent the summer and fall preaching and baptizing in Judea, John chapters 2 and 3. The first of that winter, he returned to Galilee and converted the woman at Jacob's well on the way, John chapter 4. He remained in Galilee, it seemed, until the spring of 28, when he attended a feast at Jerusalem, supposed by many to be the Passover, in John chapter 5. He soon returned to Galilee and was rejected at Nazareth, removed to Capernaum, called his disciples to be fishers of men, and did many miracles, and thence made his first general circuit through Galilee. That'd be Matthew 4, Mark 1:39, and Luke chapter 4. He spent all of that summer at work in Galilee, and in the fall he made another tour through that country in Luke chapter 8. He spent all the fall and winter of 28 and 29 in Galilee, which embraces our present lesson. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, states the fact that Jesus appointed the 12 apostles that they might be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have authority to cast out demons, and gives their names. And he's going to send them out later in Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Now let's look at the explanatory notes for our lesson. It starts in Mark chapter 3 and verse 19, where it simply says, "He cometh into a house." Well, after the preaching tour mentioned in Luke 8, Jesus returned to Capernaum and went into a house, or as the margin says, in his home. Having been rejected at Nazareth, Jesus had made his home in Capernaum. In Mark 3 and verse 20, we read that the multitudes cometh together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. At this home in Capernaum, Jesus entered into one of the busiest and most eventful days in all history. This day's work is recorded in Matthew 12 and 13 and Mark chapter 3 and 4. And Jesus was so engaged that there was no time for eating. The multitudes came together so soon as they heard Jesus return, and so pressed upon him that, as this verse states, he and his disciples could not so much as eat bread. This was not the only time Jesus was too absorbed in doing his Father's will to eat. You remember, he stated as such when the disciples came to him with bread while he was talking to the woman at the well. Well, we read in Mark chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. And when his friends heard it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, "He is beside himself." And the scribes that came down from Jerusalem said, "He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the demons casteth he out demons." His friends, including his mother and brethren, according to verses 31 and 32, they said he was beside himself. They went out to lay hold on him. At this time in Capernaum, Jesus performed the triple miracle of healing a man who was blind, dumb, and possessed of a demon. At this and other miracles, the multitude were amazed and confessed their faith in Jesus as the Christ by asking, "Can this be the Son of David?" To acknowledge Jesus to be the Son of David was to acknowledge him as the Christ. That the multitudes were believing in and praising Jesus aroused the jealousy and increased the hatred of the Pharisees. Shortly before this occasion, as at other times, they had taken counsel against him how they might destroy him. Well, Jesus was accused of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Matthew says the Pharisees, and Mark says the scribes made the accusation, which follows. The scribes led and were followed by the Pharisees. The scribes were from Jerusalem and were no doubt shrewd and polished. They did not want the multitudes to believe in Jesus, but they could not deny the fact of the miracle that had produced the faith. Hence, they must account for the miracle to the multitudes upon some other ground than the power of God. Demons were under the control of their prince, and if the multitudes could be led to believe that Jesus received the power to cast out demons from Satan, that would show him to be in league with Satan and destroy their faith in him as the Son of God. Beelzebub, in the margin, Beelzebul, is here called the prince of demons. And in verses 23 and 26 is identified with Satan. Beelzebub is a corruption of Beelzebub, B-A-A-L, not Beelzebub, but B-A-A-L, Beelzebub, an idol worshipped at Ekron. It is supposed that this idol was the same with Beelzebub, the fly god worshipped at Ekron in 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 2. Who had his name changed afterward by the Jews to Beelzebub, the dung god, a title expressive of the utmost contempt. When you think of that Beelzebub god, you can think of a pile of dung with all of the flies around it. It seems probable that the worship of this vile idol continued even to the time of our Lord. And the title being applied by the Jews to our blessed Lord affords the strongest proof of the inveteracy of their malice. Some say Beelzebub is derived from a word which means the Lord of the dwelling in which the spirits dwell. Now let me read Matthew chapter 3, verses 23 through 27. And he called out unto them, and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan hath risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. But no one can enter into the house of a strong man and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Jesus knew the thoughts of the Pharisees, as he did on other occasions, and he called out unto them and exposed their reasoning. He asked, "How can Satan cast out Satan? The house, city, or kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself, and hath risen up against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? In this way Satan himself cannot stand, but hath an end." Jesus did not deny that Satan could cast out demons, but it shows that it would be self-destruction for him to do so. Matthew 12 and verse 27 says, "By whom do your sons cast them out?" See, there were Jews, exorcists, who claimed to have the power to cast out demons. We read about some of them in Acts chapter 19. These Pharisees knew this, and they believed they could do it. Jesus meant this when he said, "By whom do your sons cast them out?" Jesus did not admit by this that these exorcists could do whatever they claimed, but granting that they could, as his opponents believed, they cast out demons by the same power which he did. If he did it by the prince of demons, so did they. The Pharisees could not claim that their sons or their followers, their disciples, their students cast out demons by the power of God, and that Jesus cast them out by the power of Satan. Matthew 12:28 states the fact that since Jesus, as he has proved by two arguments above, cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God had come upon these Pharisees, and they should receive it. Jesus gives another argument to show that he cast out demons by the power and authority of God. One cannot enter the house of a strong man and spoil his goods, except he be more powerful than the strong man and bind the strong man. Then he can spoil or take away his goods. Satan is the strong man. His house, the body of the demonics, and his goods, the demons themselves. Jesus entered these houses and cast out demons, hence he's more powerful than Satan, and not in league with him. As he frequently did, Jesus turned the argument of his enemies mightily against them, and proved thereby that he was entering Satan's dominion and destroying it for the benefit of all present. Jesus drew the conclusion that none could side with him and the Pharisees at the same time. All who did not take a firm stand with him and go to work for him, or who sympathized with the Pharisees, were against him. As a shepherd, Jesus was trying to gather the people into his blessed fold, while the Pharisees were trying to scatter them. And everyone who was not engaged with him in this work of gathering was with his enemies in the work of scattering. There is now, as there has ever been, no middle ground between truth and error, between right and wrong, between true worship and vain worship. The fact that one endeavors to be noncommittal or indifferent or on the fence places him on the wrong side. If one is not actively engaged in the service of Christ, he is against Christ. To do nothing is to be against Christ. One must work, climb, run, wrestle, fight, and prove faithful until life's close to be saved. But he can be lost by doing nothing. He who does nothing is lost. But one of the most dangerous and despicable characters is he who identifies himself with God's true worshipers and friends of truth, while he works subtly to undermine the truth and advance false systems of worship. Well, we're going to read in Mark chapter 6, 1 through 3, about Jesus as a carpenter. We're going to have to save that for our next class session. So you might want to mark in your Bible, Mark 6, verses 1 through 3, and be ready to return when class comes back in session.